Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary. Welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio, and we bring wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. And today, wow, I feel so blessed having a special guest. It's Johan Ilgenfritz, and he is the founder, the great mastermind, and the director of this platform we are using here, the UK Health Radio. And Justin, before we started here recording, we had a little chat, and it was filled with wisdom insights. So I think it would be a very interesting story, session. And just a story, say, Ilgenfritz's story is really extraordinary as well. If you just, most people maybe know, but maybe what are the key points in this transformation, what you did, leaving South Africa, being a famous photographer, and then now a totally different purpose in life.
Wolfgang, hello. Lovely to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Truly is a pleasure. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, Johan. Okay, maybe the listener should know we have a monthly chat where we share just experiences, development, transformations, how we can grow in the extraordinary person, being a better person. And so that's why we have it for a few years already, and kind of deeper connection with this. And I'm so grateful that you invited me here to the platform. And I'm so blessed. I feel so interesting what you accomplished with your story, that the doctor says, that's it. We can't do anything for you. And now it's totally the opposite. You do things for thousands of millions of listeners, but millions of patients, what the doctors often didn't know or till today don't know, and not really focusing on what's possible for the human being, just simply health-wise.
Yeah. Yes, it has been quite a journey, I have to admit. I grew up in South Africa. I studied photography there. I worked as a photographer as well. I am of German descent. I am German. After South Africa, I left, went to Germany, worked there as a photographer for a long time, in Germany and in London. The German magazine world didn't like my style very much, but they liked it here. Mm-hmm. But I did work. I did a lot of commercial.
Here is London for the listener that you know.
I'm correct. Yes, sorry. Yes, I'm here in London, mm-hmm. where I now live. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the beginning, a lot of the work in Germany, big companies there as well. I photographed everything for Nivea, the beauty product Nivea, for about 4 or 5 years, that kind of stuff. So that was it. And then just quickly in 2011, as I said, there I was working as a photographer, fashion beauty photographer. And in 2011, I was diagnosed with cancer. Actually, I had a heart attack before that, on the tennis court, funnily mm-hmm. enough. And about 4 or 5 months after the heart attack, the doctors couldn't quite work out why I wasn't feeling better, why I wasn't getting better. And that's when I was diagnosed with the cancer the first time. Mm-hmm. I did I have to say this because it's quite important. At that stage of my life, I had no idea of anything lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Medicine meant mainstream medicine for me. That is mm-hmm. at that point what it was. I had never heard of complementary medicine or therapies or anything like that.
Never heard. Very interesting. Yes.
Never really heard about it. It didn't interest me. I was I was doing my things.
Be what your paradigms allow you to see. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how I grew up. That's what I knew. That's what I did. And And then the first, well, the first diagnosis, something really weird happened because the diagnosis put me into a total frenzy, into a spin, complete spin. I was useless. I couldn't make decisions. All I did was follow. I did radiotherapy, two sets of radio, ending up doing two sets of radiotherapy. But even though I was in this weird state of mind, there was one feeling that stayed with me the whole time. And that was, I had no duties.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had said to me, you know, do exercise or don't, or follow this nutritional plan or don't. Or my only duty was basically to be there for the treatment or the remediotherapy, which I did. But as I said, that feeling of, it's not helplessness, but that feeling of having, not being part of my health, future, actually. I think that really stayed by me. It really did. And even though I was then given the all clear in October of 2011, after all the rest, I was given the all clear, cancer free. And even then still, what is still and the feeling?
Feeling also like you're just an object in the process?
Oh, most definitely. That as well. Definitely. It was, there was no personal involvement, not from my side or from their side for that matter. You know, as I said, you were just going through the process, finished. And as it quite often happens, you think to yourself, okay, been there, done that. And life continues as it always has, unfortunately. And mine did continued the way I had been living up to then. And then in 2012, just 5 months later, during my first post-cancer screenings, my oncologist said to me, Leanne, I'm really sorry, but I don't know what's happened. The cancer's back with a vengeance. And it has literally spread everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you would think I would have reacted the second time like I did the first time after being diagnosed, but that changed.
Mm-hmm.
I can still see myself sitting in my oncologist's office and her telling me the news and me thinking to myself, I can actually hear the voice in my voice in the back of my head screaming at me. It's not going to happen. You're not going to die.
Wow.
I had a total different mindset. I don't know how else to describe it.
Which is looking back, did you call it mindset or was something speaking through you?
I think the whole experience of before, what I said, I had no duty. I had nothing that I was supposed to do or not supposed to do. I was just, and that feeling of not being part of my health process, I think that sort of started growing and becoming not just a little bush, but a tree. I really felt as if, you know, I always say, nobody is going to fight for your life the way you are.
Yes.
The doctors have many of me's that they treat all at the same time.
Yeah.
They can't get personally involved. I get it. I understand it. You know, it's like, and to a point, of course. But so nobody is going to look after my health, fight for my health, fight for my life the way I am going to. And I think the second diagnosis came in that way. I was of that frame of mind, let's see, more than that by then. You know, it was, I still had no idea about anything else, any other treatments or anything like that. You know, so, but that was intriguing. Even now, when I think back of it, I find it intriguing because within the space of just a little over a year, I had started on a path without even consciously realizing it. I had started on a path that I'd never been before, never ever, not even close to it. You know, so
there would not be a question of did you change something in between already. Or just were thinking, now it's time to go back to make photos.
It's at that Yeah, the work helped me as well. Work has always helped. Work has always been, whether it was the photography or my purpose, what I do now, I found my purpose through all this. So this is next level completely to the photography, you know. But work has always helped. But after the second diagnosis, which I'll tell you a bit about now, it took about 7 months before I found an alternative. I don't even want to use that word alternative because people always think alternatives to health.
Yes.
I don't see it as alternative. Before I found another way, let's just put it that way, of, you know, because after the second diagnosis, I said to myself, okay, so the first option didn't work. Now I'll go and find another or other options. They've got to be out there.
Yes.
You know? It's like, change the way you look at things. And
this is the dead end road. So now we need to look for a different road.
Yeah. And I mean, in most cases, there is always another way of doing things.
Yeah, always.
And that was basically, that was my starting point. That's where I started, at a clean slate. Absolutely. You know, so one option had worked. Now find something else or other things. Doesn't have to be one thing. I'd even gone that far. You know, I always say to people, when you stand in front of your closet, do you only have one fashion make in your office, in your cupboard?
Yeah.
You know, do you only have suits from one designer? And they go, no, of course not. And I go, so why do we do it with our health?
Yes.
Why do we not diversify? Why do we not look at all aspects of it, like in life, like we should?
Yeah, we approach.
When you're looking at anything in business, you can't just follow one way. You've got to be diverse. You've got to be able to move and redirect and change your ideas. And very, very importantly, from my point of view, is you've got to be able to say to yourself, you were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then look at what happened.
Yes.
You know, and then not necessarily blame yourself. That's not what I'm saying.
No, it's just,
but have a
look at what is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have a look and then find another way.
Yeah.
Around it, over it, under it, doesn't matter how you do it, or in the opposite direction. That's a pattern. Yeah.
You know, so you made different shifts. Well, one is, for me, is very interesting. For years, you produced photos, visibles.
Yeah.
And now you created something, what is actually not directly photos. Maybe you have a magazine where are photos. But what you really is more transporting the wisdom through the ear, not so much through the eyes.
Yeah. It's actually very important, Wolfgang. I've always found radio or audio a very direct medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're really listening to a podcast or to a radio station or to a show, when you're really listening, you can't do anything else. Like, you can eat while you're watching television and stuff like this, you know, but you can't do anything else if you're really listening to the audio. And that was really one of the main reasons I chose radio. And of course, because I didn't want FM radio either, because FM radio was local. I wanted internet radio. I wanted to be able to speak to the whole world. And those that we started, we had two listeners. I was the one, and my wife was the other one. Well, I think so. She's never admitted it, but I think so.
If she was listening.
So it just, you know, it's, and the other reason, which is quite funny actually, but it struck a chord with me, is in Hamburg, the radio station in Hamburg is called Radio Hamburg, and they have a jingle. And the jingle of this is translated now, of course, but radio geht ins Kopf.
Mm-hmm.
Radio geht ins Ohr und bleibt im Kopf. So radio goes in your ear and the message stays in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's resonated with me so much. From the first time I heard that jingle, and then as when I sat down and thought, how can I, everything I'd learned in after the second diagnosis, how can I create a platform that I could share this with the world? That's one of the other reasons why I chose the radio, the audio format. So it's actually not, it's actually personal. And if you do radio properly, wow, it's such a powerful medium. That person on the other side listening to you can feel as if you are speaking only to them. And that is quite something. You don't get that in any other medium.
It's very interesting. Yes, yesterday I had a recording. Well, the session will come here also in one or two weeks. A lady who learned to speak from stage and said, the way you speak decides if it goes really into the other person's head and you can reach something. And it's so interesting also. Just I never thought about it. It just comes up where you say this. I thought where it comes from. We start watching and as a baby, but then now in the womb of the mom, we start listening.
Yeah.
We have a training of listening and feeling. And later, months later, we start to see something and try to connect it.
Yeah.
So that is really an important point as well. Well, important. And if you go in the Bible, what was in the beginning? The word, not the picture.
Yeah. I honestly do think that through sound, of course, there's an emotional reaction to vision, to sight and stuff like that. But for me, the core emotion is by sound.
Yes.
By hearing.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw once a short movie and they had, I saw it two times, totally different music. And I have the feeling I see a totally different film, totally
different
story, even the pitch, exactly the same.
Yes, I agree. Right. I haven't seen the film, but I can literally imagine exactly that. Yeah, it's like, some scenes you can watch in a film, and then you can watch it again with the volume turned down, and it's got a totally different feel to it, different meaning almost.
And in the talk yesterday, when we recorded yesterday, the lady also says, remember, we're all frequency.
Yeah.
Sound is the frequency. So with the sound, we can transport the frequency, and that's why it goes in. And then you can make a connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yo, very, very, very interesting. So now on to the whole world. So what was it? So let's say the one or three key major changes or challenges or breakthroughs would bring all the radio to a different level. I assume simply like a lot of things in life is if you go to the Himalaya, you have base camps or everything. Success is not always as linear. So, so what was the key points you needed to go through or create new ideas to make a kind of transformation to what where you started with the two listeners to where you're now in millions.
Quite a few things actually. I think one of the I'm a big announcer. I'm a big supporter of persistence. You've got to keep on keeping on.
Yes.
No matter what happens.
Yes.
I think. That's the overall thing. But to be able to keep on keeping on, you've got to be very resilient, and you've got to put yourself in the right place. You've got to be a positive person, which I am. I'm speaking with you here almost 11 years after I was diagnosed with 12 months to live. So I learned from that point of view, and I don't see it as, a lot of people say we're living on stolen time, or I'm the walking dead. I don't see it like that.
No,
not at all. You've got to be willing to make the change, to make as many changes as you need to make. You've got to be very critical of yourself, but not in a negative way. You've got to see the mistakes that you've made. You've got to see. And they're not necessarily mistakes. If you are building something new that nobody's done before, lots of people have done radio, but nobody has done health radio until UK Health Radio came. There was no other company that I could copy or follow or try. I looked at other radio stations, of course, all of them, as many as I could find, but it was still different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a photographer, and my first main challenge when I started UK Health Radio was the first question when I spoke to anybody about it. The first question they asked me is, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, I'm Johan Ildenfritz. I'm a fashion photographer. I used to be, and I could see the shutters coming down.
Yeah.
Not a health professional.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first hurdle that I had to conquer, basically, is to, because I'm not a health professional, to still come across as authentic,
mm-hmm.
to come across.
You don't belong to
be authentic. Let's just
certificate.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. But through being authentic, that helped. Not that other little tricks also helped, like calling it UK Health Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded very official.
Mm-hmm.
Almost sounded like it could be a governmental thing,
mm-hmm.
Which of course it isn't. But it's just, you know, little things that all helped.
Yeah.
And then, as I've mentioned before, I believe and I strive for perfection,
mm-hmm.
but I don't wait for it. Mm-hmm. My motto is I get the thing up and running, and then you improve on it and you try and perfect it.
Yes.
But you can't create something in your head and expect it to be perfect. Well, not in this world, well, perhaps in mathematics or whatever, but not in my world. It really doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think, and keep on keeping on. That's what you've got to do. You've got to be positive. It's, you've got to take the good with the bad. You've got to evaluate both.
Yes.
Because the good can be as detrimental to you as the bad can be.
Yes, exactly. Because of this just kind of labeling what we do as is bad or good. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And there's an ego factor in there as well that you've got to be careful. You know, it's like,
if it follows my, it's in aligned with my plan, then it's good. If it's not aligned with my plan, it's bad.
Then it's bad. Yeah. And it isn't always necessary.
No, yeah.
No. So yeah, you've got to be very, open-minded. Evaluation, I think, is the second one, probably.
And in German, we often say that don't label anything, which is, it is what it is, says Love.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
The facts, and is it helpful or not helpful for where I want to go or what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this is the weird thing, but it had such an effect on me. There's an English saying that says, practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
And my whole life, I believed in practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Until I realized it's the biggest lot of rubbish on earth. Practice makes permanent.
Yeah.
It doesn't make perfect.
No.
It can be
trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm a big tennis player, you know that. I'm an avid tennis player. I love it. I'm useless at it, but I love the game. I love
and it's running. Yes.
And running. Yeah.
Yeah.
But tennis, if you play a forearm incorrectly, you can practice it until you're blue in the face. It's not going to work. You
know
what I mean? So, and that was one of the, in amongst quite a few other ones. I've mentioned the other one a little while before. If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. That mm-hmm. was the one thing that really played a very big effect. There's another one, if I may, that you taught me. And that is, if you are willing to do the transformation,
mm-hmm.
you do not need the reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And this has got nothing to do with a religion thing or anything like that. It is just, if you're willing to do the work,
mm-hmm.
the outcome will be different.
Yes.
For me, that's what that means. And you said that to me about a year ago, and it never left my mind. It's a very big part of my daily thought, actually. Mm-hmm. I fall back onto that so often, and I look at the situation I'm in and I think about it. Do you need to do any transformation here? You know, is the world wrong or are you wrong?
Yeah.
You know, there's another saying, if the world is always wrong, maybe the world isn't always wrong.
Yeah.
So you got to be, you know, yeah. So that's, I think that's basically what you've got to do. And you've got to work hard. You've got to.
Yes. Work hard. What your senator comes up with, the tennis player and training, whatever, forehand, backhand, or whatever. Even if you're the best, have the best forehand in planet Earth, it doesn't say that you win the game.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So maybe you're so stubborn in this, but there's someone else playing with you. Yeah. And if you're back hope with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think probably the last one that I consciously do literally on a daily basis is I get an enormous amount of information sent to me by email through the websites and through my personal emails and everything else. And I look at it and I just try and keep an open mind on everything, you know, so that you can, that it's just challenge your own ideas as well. Challenge your own beliefs all the time. Look at something. Yeah. And look at it in a positive light now, which it is. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there, but there's a lot of really, really good things happening out there as well.
Yeah, and with your radio and all the doctors, I will just have a next question then. We will shortly make a little break, and then afterwards. We need to understand all, if we are, and that is what I feel and know about you, is you are the pursuit of truth. And if you're in the pursuit of truth, you always need to question what is, because we can't prove this is true. Yeah, no theory you can prove that it's right, wrong, the best. No, you can only prove if it's wrong. So we need in a society to get a totally different feeling about or questioning everything, because, hey, yeah, that's the only way we can do better. Okay, let's make a short break.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
You are now, you started with the idea, I create a health radio. And you wanted to have someone who was presenting different topics. How do you choose the topics or the presenters to really say, from where are you coming to say, this will really help people?
Actually, two ways. I'd say that the most trodden path is from information I receive from our listeners.
Or they send you something, or they ask you something.
They ask for information about whatever, whether it's Crohn's disease or hay fever or whatever. What I do at UK Health Radio, my job at UK Health Radio is content. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yes.
And as I mentioned before, I get hundreds of emails each day.
Mm-hmm.
I have somebody that helps me with it, but I look at the ones that are really important. And that information is what I take. And I make a list of what topics, of what health topics or health information our listeners ask for the most. In other words, that means two things. Either they haven't found it on our website. It's there, but they haven't found it. So that's a point for me to look at when the website isn't functioning properly. Mm-hmm. And on the other side is, if they haven't found it and it's not there, then I go and I look for a health professional in that area. We train them, because most of our presenters aren't radio presenters. They're health professionals, for example. And we train them and we put them on the radio because it's not about the DJ and how good he is. It's about what the man and his interviewees are saying.
Yeah,
women are saying, for example. So that's how I go about finding what subjects, on the one hand. On the other hand is through this amazing job that I have, and I call it a job, not a job, it's a calling, but through this, I meet the most incredible people, Wolfgang. You have no idea the people I have met in the last 10 years. And some of them I just know instinctively that they've got to be on the radio. So that's how I do it. That's actually how I do it.
Wow. What was show up? Joy over business or something like this? Or I don't know.
Job is, as I said, it's job. I know the one thing about job is just the bonds broke.
Yeah, just over broke.
Just about
that broke. Enough to eat and not enough to be free, that they can come back. Need to come back. It was like we in Europe said, what was it, the king and the bishop came together. You keep them poor, I keep them stupid. Here comes Johan and says, okay, at least in this area, I will help them that they don't need to rely on. And I can personally also, my story is, it was my ignorance, my paradigms that I also just simply listened and trusted doctors, and they created problems. Because it was their mindset or, they were just happy. And so as a lawyer also, I was happy to be in a lawyer, not every day. What do I need to learn new today? It was not my plan, really. So if you meet some other lawyer or a doctor that was 20 years in the business and just has his clinic running, people are coming, and you can be quite sure that you get treatments which are obsolete already, is not the best word it is at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's really a challenge in life in general to always challenge, like you said, my ego, my belief, and question myself. And hopefully one day we have this more in school. Train for, do you have the right answer? Really help people how to get higher grades because they have the better question.
And I think awareness as well. Awareness is such a trodden word as well these days. I actually don't even like using it anymore, but there are so many opportunities that come your way. You've just got to be open to,
yes,
receiving them. Let's use the word open and not aware, because you've just got to be open to receiving it. It's because it's there. Yeah. And I'm sure it's always been there, but it's just, I was just not open enough.
Exactly.
Not even to recognize them, to even know they existed.
And yes. My story is that I law office, tax accounting, big office in Hamburg, 5 floors, wow, employees, blah, 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 blah. That's the real life. And when I really couldn't stand it anymore, I said, I need to get out of this. And then afterwards, I did network marketing. And then in network marketing, I found out that a lot of those successful people came from whatever crisis. So that's once a successful person says, I can't join this group because I'm successful already. Have you only those who are not successful, who are miserable or whatever? And at the end, mainly yes, because otherwise they wouldn't be open.
Yeah.
Otherwise they wouldn't be open. And it's also the book from Gay Shi, also that the happy people, they all, most of them had a big crisis. Like you and me, which says, wow, we need to rethink, question the way we live. And is it purposeful? Is it really, are my cells opening up? Yeah. And that is what we also say, the quality of your question decides the quality of your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely believe that it does. I mean, some people are lucky enough to realize it themselves, but in my case, it was definitely trauma, almost, if I could call it that, because it was quite traumatic. The whole episode, the whole thing was really traumatic for me. It really was, So it definitely was trauma that shook me awake, basically.
So now a lot of people can't really imagine that you started with nothing or with 2 listeners. Now it's already a big success. It is not just a UK success. It's not just a Europe success. You have listeners in the US. You have listeners in Asia. And you're going, simply said, more global than ever. One country after another comes, or listeners from those countries coming to you. So what is the real vision now?
My vision is actually two parts. And I do feel that the first part, probably not complete yet, but almost, I always say to myself, it's part of one of the mantras that I use is, I am the person putting UK Health Radio into every single dwelling on the planet. That's the first part. That's what I want to do. And I don't mean, penthouse apartments or your family homes. I mean dwelling. In fact, it doesn't matter where dwelling. That's what I want. And the second part of it is getting every person in every dwelling to listen. So that's always been the outline of what I want to do. And so on. So we started with the radio. We now have 41 shows, 40, I think 49 presenters, because a lot of the shows have more than one presenter. Or they do it together, or they alternate as they prefer. Actually, we got on the radio itself. We got 1.3 million listeners now. As you know, we started the podcast. UK Health Radio is now all 41 shows is now on the podcast on 50 podcast platforms around the world. So possible listenership there is about 800 million people, and. Of course, we're not there yet. We're right at the beginning of this part, but that's what I aim for. That's just so we've just done our first advertising campaign in the UK and in the US. And yes, we have listeners in 54 countries at the moment. So unbelievable, actually, some countries where you really think why. And some of them are only 20 in some countries. There are only 10 or 20 listeners, but they're still listening there. And it's
great.
So starting in English. Cool. Absolutely. And we, as you mentioned. So, and really exciting. There's a third section to this, which I'm right in the beginning of. I don't want to go into too much detail in it as well, but it's really excited me. It really has. Should in the next three or four months, we should know whether that's going to happen. It won't only be audio. I can say that. it will probably be visual, will be visual as well, but it's just it's a continuation. I've got to try and put, UK Health Radio, this is really important to me. We don't distinguish between health groups. Mainstream health or natural health or integrative health. UK Health Radio is good quality information on health, no matter where it comes from. I mean, literally, sometimes more than half of what's airing on UK Health Radio, I personally don't agree with. But who am I to not air it because I don't agree with it? So it's really important for me, especially the... in this day and age where freedom of speech is a tricky thing these days. And I know I'm on very thin ice here, but freedom of speech isn't the way freedom of speech was when I was a young man. It's changed. So I want to have as many platforms as possible where people can access us as easy as possible. So that's basically right.
Also,
and trust us, absolutely.
Even if it's different opinion, and nobody gives us a guarantee that it works, but it can trust. Here are not people working on fake news.
Correct. That is absolutely trust is trust and integrity. I think they go hand in hand. You can't have the one without the other. I think that is just what we, not only me, I mean yourself and all the other 40 presenters. All work really hard to be able to do this. And you mustn't forget, that the press here in the UK have called me the curator of health expertise. And that's exactly what I am. I curate health expertise to the world.
Yeah.
And that is, it's true, it's honest, it's real information. It's got nothing to do with whether IDU or anybody else likes it or not.
How do you
That's basically
compare now, would you say, I'm offering health expertise with the artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, and so that you give a question in and you get an answer. How you see this is just the trust thing, the difference, or is it not easier just going the artificial intelligence and ask a question and then?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. Even here, I always look at the positive side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And AI, I think, has its place.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it has its place in health, I'm not so sure. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always a human factor in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a human factor.
And the
truth. So, it's the truth is always the issue, I think, with AI. And as I said, I honestly think I'm not doom and gloom about AI at all, actually. I think in a lot of areas and if used properly, I think it could help us. It could help us take away time so that we can concentrate perhaps on better things, like more useful things that we do.
AI is better already in diagnosis than a human doctor, even someone who wants to learn new stuff. But it's hard to keep up with all what is in. Okay,
it is, yeah.
So I have other questions, but just have a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So with all your experience of different professions and now especially with all the experience in UK Health Radio from the technical point and also with the content of all the different health topics. And I'm here the so-called crazy guy with extraordinary future. So what is an extraordinary future? And simply said, we could create something what we never really believed before, could see before. Simply would maybe say we are capable of creating paradise on Earth. So with all your experience, not using UK Health Radio only, let's say, the sickness channel. So it's also maybe the tuning channel. How optimized, because we have all no clue how healthy, how fit we really could be. Nobody tried it really yet in the consequence school or whatever I said. So what do you see or recommend from all what you learned? What can we as normal humans do to really take better care of us and tune us or live more up to the potential what we might ignore so far?
Definitely. Prevention, I'll just start with one thing. Prevention is always better than cure.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only do that if we become part of our health process,
mm-hmm.
be involved, in other words, and be active,
mm-hmm.
physically and mentally. Probably mentally is even more important than physically, because you've got to be open to new things.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the cupboard, you don't only have one design in your cupboard. You mm-hmm. have more. You wear what suits you.
So nobody else can do it for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. That is, and of what you've just mentioned, basically, is personal medicine. Not one person on this planet is the same. And we don't react the same on things.
Yeah.
So you've got to do a lot of work yourself. The people out there that can drink lemon juice every morning. My wife drinks lemon juice in hot water every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. If I drink it for 3 days in a row, I can't get out of bed. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by you can't just accept everything. You've got to try. You've got to do it. You've got to be interested in it. So personal. I think the main thing is just you've got to become part of the process of your health. Keeping it.
Yeah.
Very important.
I just have the picture in mind of Formula One races. And every driver has a different seat or and every different drink. Yeah. So that what he is losing when he has the stress, minerals, and what he needs to fill up, and it's all by testing, and they're all monitoring all the time. And, like you said, we easily eat everything. We go in a supermarket. What is a special offer of the day? And we never would do it with a car. Huh? Like I said, yeah, we're so crazy how we treat us. Hmm?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, actually. I mean, it's what we eat and what we think. Those two things, that's what saved my life, those two things. Mm-hmm. What I ate, because if you want to be scientific about it, what I did is very scientific. A person by the name of Dr. Warburg, who was a German biochemist, won a Nobel Prize for this information in 1931. He won a Nobel Prize for it. And that is, cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated alkaline cellular environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't change the pH of your blood. Not possible. Your body regulates that.
Yes.
But you can change the pH in your cell structure.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I cured my cancer, and I can say that because I'm not selling anything with it. I actually cured my cancer. It took me 2.5 years, not a quick fix either, through starving the cancer to death, taking their food away. So I became an alkaline vegan for about 8 years. But yeah, that's, and of course, you are what you think. Managing stress, managing that internal language in your head is so important. I mean, we all know stress can acidify your body astronomically. We all know that. You know? So you've got to think into it. You've got to think about it. What stress worries you? In my case, it was time pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do? I lengthened my day. It's doable. You can. You must just think into it. And adapt it so that it fits you. None of us can get away from stress anymore. It's not possible. If you're a grown up, you have stress, but you've got to learn to handle it, to deal with whatever makes you ill or not well, and change it.
And we're coming back to the judging. Yeah. So the less we judge, the less stress. Okay. There is some things to do and everything, but, also with the purpose. If it's aligned with the purpose, it's so much easier to do. Yeah,
yeah.
As I said, stress and the oil stress, and so just it's a big difference, and it brings a huge amount of fulfillment if you live your purpose, and the whole system gets energized and so much more healed, because all processes are going better. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's your whole outlook on life. Yeah. Everything is different.
Just what you said also with the cancer, is it changing your diet system? One part is that the bad stuff, okay, stuff to death. But on the other hand, everything else transporting, the nutrition's better. If you're in the right pH level, water is better. Exactly. And it's better.
Absorption is better. Everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I had another interview also with someone who was really in the topic of the water and his, wouldn't say healing, but he's with his patients. Was what a tremendous difference just by changing the water. Yeah.
And I'm it's actually another avenue that I'm looking into is I'm in the information industry at the moment. That's what I do.
Yeah.
But there's some amazing products out there, and I'm fortunate enough to be part of a company. It's just starting out. The actual product is 10 years in the development already. But that's another area that is not only the information, but it's also something that you can use, that you can, so yeah, very important.
This is a topic for another session. The paradox is there might be start something about this show, this episode at least, is ending today. Thank you, Jörn. It was a pleasure to experience you again with all your wisdom. And again, that not me only, we are blessed that you would do this and help us all be physically in the possibility of having an extraordinary life and create whatever we want. Thank you, Johan. And this was another episode of Winspiration Radio, and trust, the best is yet to come. This was another episode of Winspiration, wisdom and information to support you getting out of illusions, false identifications, limiting beliefs. We all have the power and potential to be more, do more, have more, give more. Reality is what is possible in the universe, and the best is yet to come. If you want to dive deeper into possibilities of creating the extraordinary future, go to winspiration.global or to wolfgangsonnenburg.com. More information and some free downloads like the email program Dream Goals Reality or a copy of the book The Best Is Yet To Come can be found on the UK Health Radio website under the Listen on Demand and Presenters section. Join us again next week on the Winspiration Show for more wisdom and information to create your extraordinary future.